Dr. George Dimitri, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Good morning, I'm Taylor Wilson, and this is 5 Things You Need to Know Saturday, the 23rd of October, 2021. Today, the conversation around COVID-19 vaccines for younger children, plus new developments from the New Mexico film set, where Alec Baldwin accidentally shot and killed cinematographer Halina Hutchins, and more. Here are some of the top headlines. China said yesterday that there's no room for compromise or concessions on the issue of Taiwan. The comments come after President Joe Biden said the U.S. is committed to defending the island if it's attacked. A woman is suing Dr. Phil. She says the popular TV host pressured her to attend a rural ranch where she was allegedly sexually assaulted by a male staffer. And the world's biggest Triceratops skeleton has sold for $7.7 million. It'll go to a private collector after sale at a Paris auction house. After the CDC approved booster shots for all 3 authorized COVID-19 vaccines in the U.S., the agency and the FDA set their sights next on a new task, evaluating the safety of the Pfizer vaccine for kids aged 5 to 11. Over the next 2 weeks, the agencies will decide whether new data showing that the vaccine is 90% effective for the age group is convincing enough to justify authorizing it. Data out yesterday from Pfizer reported that only 3 children out of 1,500 who received the vaccine during the study later contracted COVID-19. And all 3 had mild symptoms with no severe cases or deaths. If authorized, the COVID-19 vaccine would be the first available to younger children. The same Pfizer vaccine has already been authorized for children aged 12 and older since May. Because children are unlikely to become severely ill from COVID-19 in general, experts say that vaccines have to be overly safe and have a significant impact on the pandemic to justify their use in this age group. Dr. Larry Kocholek, an infectious disease specialist at Lurie Children's Hospital in Chicago, said that vaccinating younger kids can help society get back to normal.
People point out the rate of severe complications and death in children is much lower than adults. That's correct. But we know that children are not free from the harmful effects of this virus. Widespread community transmission is primarily the reason why schools aren't back to normal, why many sports don't look like what they looked like before the pandemic. Children we know can transmit this virus to other people in the community that are more vulnerable. Vaccinating children will be really important for us to be able to return to normal life as we know it and to continue to protect everybody in our communities.
For more, stay with the live COVID updates page on usatoday.com. There are new developments to how a cinematographer died on set after actor Alec Baldwin accidentally shot and killed her this week. Halina Hutchins is dead, and director Joel Souza was also injured. According to court records out yesterday, an assistant director handed Baldwin a loaded weapon without knowing it and told him it was safe to use. But the gun was loaded with live rounds, and Baldwin pulled the trigger. Investigators are still looking into how exactly that happened, but a film armory coordinator on other projects, Sam Dormer, told the AP about what protocols with weapons on set are normally like.
Nowadays, all weapons are checked, the barrels are checked before any blanks are put into the weapon. There are lots of other protocols in place, including actor training beforehand so the actor is competent with the weapon before they go on set. There'll be rehearsals without the weapon so the armorer can assess any safety distances and be aware of where all the crew is before the weapon goes on set. the blanks themselves are never loaded until the very last minute, when all crew are in position, so they know, the armourer knows exactly where every member of the crew is, so that no one's walked through any danger areas that the armourer has set up.
As for Baldwin, he tweeted about the incident yesterday and said he is cooperating with the investigation. No immediate charges have been filed, and Baldwin is allowed to travel. One half of the World Series is set. The Houston Astros shut out the Boston Red Sox last night 5-0 to win the American League Championship Series in 6 games, even after initially falling behind 2-1. USA Today Sports Mackenzie Salmon looks at how they did it.
You know the stars. Bregman, Correa, Altuve. All have had their moments on offense, but it's been Michael Brantley, Jordan Alvarez, and Yuli Gurriel that have made this lineup unmatched. At any point in any inning, this lineup has the potential to blow the game wide open. The White Sox and the Red Sox found that out the hard way in the postseason. If you're not on your P's and Q's as a pitcher, the game can get out of hand quickly with this lineup. They're that good. But, of course, Houston can't win a title just by hitting the lights out. Lance McCullers has become a dominant ace. On nights he's pitching, the Astros can feel unbeatable. While the rest of the pitching staff has a boomer bust mentality, Framber Valdez and Christian Javier have the talent to take over games. While many will want to hold on to the cheating scandal with this organization, there is no doubt anymore. This team is special and deserves this moment of redemption on the biggest stage. Or go ahead and root against them. But don't be shocked when you end up on the losing side.
Houston's trip to the Fall Classic is their 3rd in 5 years, and they won it all in 2017. But that title has since become controversial, since Major League Baseball found out they were using illegal technology to steal signs. Meanwhile, over in the National League, the Atlanta Braves are looking to make the World Series for the first time since 1999, and for their first title since 1995. They're up 3-2 on the Los Angeles Dodgers as the series shifts back to Atlanta for Game 6 tonight. The Dodgers are trying to make it back to the World Series after winning it all last year. You can tune in just after 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on TBS. Clarence Thomas is marking 30 years on the Supreme Court this weekend. Thomas became the second black justice on the court in history when he was confirmed in 1991. His opinions have not changed much over the years and tend to follow a conservative, pretty strict interpretation of the Constitution. He made it to the high court after growing up in poverty in Georgia and then through Yale Law School. Nowadays, Thomas finds himself on the most conservative Supreme Court possibly since the 1940s, after President Donald Trump put 3 nominees on the court, and justices will soon have some major decisions to make with abortion and guns on the docket in the coming months. Still, for many Americans, the 73-year-old is best known for allegations that he sexually harassed Anita Hill, something he denied. The allegations came during his Senate confirmation hearings and decades before the Me Too movement sparked a cultural reckoning between men and women in the workplace. A series of storms is expected to slam the West over the next few days. That includes one this weekend that's been deemed a bomb cyclone because of its strength. Meteorologists define a bomb cyclone as a rapidly strengthening storm with central pressure that drops by 24 millibars or more in 24 hours, a process known as bombogenesis. Elena Killeen looked into this phenomenon in a recent episode of Just the Facts.
It may sound like something out of a sci-fi flick, but a bomb cyclone is more common than you might realize. Meteorologists say this type of winter storm forms through a process known as bombogenesis, which really doesn't make us feel much better. But it's not as bad as it sounds once you understand what's happening. A bomb cyclone is a storm that intensifies very rapidly. This typically happens when a cold air mass collides with a warm air mass and a mid-latitude cyclone occurs. As the cyclone intensifies and the system's pressure drops quickly in a short period of time, it becomes a bomb cyclone. Storm pressure is measured by millibars. The lower the millibars, the more powerful the storm. Storms regularly see drops of 10 to 15 millibars. But when pressure drops by 24 or more in less than 24 hours, you have yourself bombogenesis. Think of it as a winter hurricane, say a Category 1, that's often accompanied by strong winds, blizzard conditions, and rain or snow. As for the term bomb cyclone, we can thank retired Professor Fred Sanders, who coined the phrase in a 1980 article.
This week's storms will hit areas from California to the Pacific Northwest, dropping both rain and snow. That's welcome news for drought-slammed parts of the region. California, in particular, has seen some of the driest months on record this year. And some of the state's reservoirs are at historic lows going into the rainy season. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, nearly 92% of the western U.S. is in some level of drought. Thanks for listening to 5 Things. You can find us 7 days a week wherever you're listening right now. And a thanks, as always, to Shannon Green and Claire Thornton for their work on the show. And Claire's back tomorrow with the Sunday edition right here on this feed. I'll be back Monday with more of 5 Things from USA Today.
Dr. George Dimitri, medical oncologist, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute.
Over the past 5 years, 51% of all FDA-approved cancer drugs have had substantial input from Dana-Farber scientists and clinical investigators. And that comes from the culture here, the very basic curiosity-driven scientists that are probing really how cancer works, and then the expert clinicians that interact with patients and families every day. It's not easy to have input at a substantive level to new drugs that are safe and effective at treating cancer. So our whole mantra has always been to try to minimize risks to patients and yet try to maximize the opportunity of finding how effective a new treatment could be. And that means understanding cancer really, really deeply.
At Dana-Farber, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.